Our edition of Farmer Friday is brought to you by Legends Farm and Lawn, your one-stop shop for outdoor power equipment on Highway 5 South in Centerville. With me on phone right now, I've got Mike Tino for my edition of Farmer Friday. Mike, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Absolutely. As we wrap up the season, we want to see how things went at the Tino Farms there over there by the greater Melrose area. Talk a little bit about the harvest that you just completed.
So in most of Monroe County, there may have been some pockets. We were blessed with some excellent weather most of the summer. We never really wanted for too many rains. There were times we were like, oh, we're going to need a rain or whatever. But so Mother Nature blessed us with a wonderful harvest. The weather was nice during the fall, so it was actually a little bit dry early on, most of October, and almost to a point where nobody really wanted to do any fall work because the ground was almost too dry after we got, you know, the corn out.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I like what you said. Those timely rains during the growing season were a blessing from above, that's for sure. As some of the yields, I'm sure, went into the upper 100s, maybe tickled the 200 range on the corn. But the thing about it was the market prices weren't so excited. Did you sell out of the field a lot or did you store some?
I had some that I sold. Of course, it was, like I said, I think everybody was blessed. So storage was definitely a problem this year. So I think a lot of people, even that had enough storage, may have had the bushels there this year that they may have been putting it in bags or putting it in places that they normally wouldn't have stored it. But it was a nice problem to have. And like you said, the commodity prices are really tough this year. So
that they were. As you got the crop out, go ahead and talk about what you did afterwards. Did you do any tillage or any fertilizer activity?
We did do a little bit of fall tillage. Not, like I said, not near as much as we normally would have. And then the weather stayed so nice and warm. And then about the time that it cooled off, we started getting some rain there towards the end of the harvest season, so then it made it difficult to get in there and put anhydrous on. So actually, once the ground temperature got to where it needed to be, we started to get in that couple weeks of rain. So yes, we got some of our anhydrous, and yes, we got some of the dry fertilizer on. But I think a lot of people were in that same boat. If you were fortunate enough to get all your anhydrous on, and then of course everybody was going at once, Pat. So you had, you know, if you pay attention to Highway 34 at all, you just have semi-load after semi-load of anhydrous running down the road. So there was a tremendous amount of anhydrous moving down the road, and it was tough for those guys to keep up.
That it was, indeed. I'm talking with Mike Tino for my edition of Farmer Friday. And Mike, on the tillage, just backing up just a skosh, are you talking about chisel plowing or just disking? What implement do you use go-to for fall tillage?
You know, depending on what we're talking about, whether it's corn stalks or bean stubble, basically the corn stalks will come in with some sort of vertical tillage, help break those stalks down before springtime. But that's our main go-to for corn stalks is vertical till. It kind of just helps break the stalks down. It leaves quite a bit of the residue there, prevent erosion and stuff. You know, that you see a lot of people not touch their bean stubble till spring. Sometimes some people will, but you go down the highway, you don't see a lot of that anymore. You know, real heavy tillage just ain't my practice anyway, and a lot of other farmers either.
You know, when you think about that, you mentioned erosion. I've got the feeling and sense that people have become more aware of being a steward of the land and keeping that soil where it's at and providing that cushion as the rains come or the snow come to hit those stocks as opposed to the bare soil. Are you feeling the same way about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, in the last 20 to 30 years, it just becomes more and more apparent as you drive down the highways. You just don't, you see waterways getting even bigger. I remember, not trying to age myself here, but right out of high school, you could drive down the highway and see that there would be a narrow waterway and probably pad a ditch on each side of that narrow grass waterway, where these waterways have gotten a lot wider. You'll see people putting terraces at the top of them, and there's really nice programs out there for farmers to take advantage of and get those terraces put in, water basins of some sort, to try and help for erosion. So, yeah, we're caretakers of it, and I always tease the boys and tell them, well, put this big waterway in, and I'll come back and haunt you someday if you take this out and we end up with a ditch here down the road.
Yeah, good deal. That's great to hear. So go ahead and talk about 2025. I'm sure that goals have been set and purchases have been made for seed. Talk about your planning for 2025.
Yeah, for 2025, we try to follow a complete rotation, Pat. So all of our corn acres will be switched over to beans, and all of our bean acres in 2024 will be switched over to corn. It's always fun. We're most of the time in the combine harvesting, and the seed salesmen are heavy at work at the same time you're trying to harvest. You don't have the 2024 crop out, and they're selling their 2025 seeds. So there's a lot of seed sold in 2024 already for 2025. So just preparing, purchasing your seed, getting a plan together as far as what's going where, putting some packages together for spray, maybe some pre, depending on if you had weed trouble or something in one field or another. But yeah, that's the main thing, and putting together maps and getting them distributed into the tractors to make sure that whoever's in the tractor, if they're in question of what's going where, there's some sort of information in there to show them, hey, I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. You've got to have a plan for sure. I'm talking with Mike Tino for my edition of Farmer Friday, and of course, our listeners can go back to our website here at KIIC, www.KIICradio.com, and select that Audio Vault button banner at the top. And on the right side, you'll see this Farmer Friday edition, along with all the other Friday editions of Farmer Friday. Mike, thanks for being with me here on KIIC today.
I appreciate it, Pat. And you know, you asked me about 2025 season, and I have to mention, I'm pretty blessed to be able to farm. I've got with my three boys that all help on the farm. I've got my twin brother. I've got my dad still helping me, my uncle. So it's a true family farm, and I feel blessed in that way.
That is a very good feeling to have, as the Iowa agriculture is blessed with tradition, and this is a prime example of that. So thank you so much for being a farmer, and continued success.
Thanks a lot to you, Pat.
Mark Tino also wanted me to reiterate about the farmers that struggled in the 1980s with the farm crisis. Thankfully, there hasn't been another one like that before, but he wanted to make sure that those farmers that went through that, to thank those folks for laying the foundation, and also to recognize them for their struggles that they had. They are tough people that are made of leather and have done a phenomenal job to keep their heads above water, and folks are grateful that they are able to continue the tradition of being a farmer in southern Iowa. Our edition of Farmer Friday is brought to you by Legends Farm and Lawn, your one-stop shop for outdoor power equipment on Highway 5 South in Centerville.